Well, good morning.
Morning.
It's good to see everybody here today. We've got a good crowd. We've got several visitors here today. Make sure that you see these visitors and talk to them and invite them back.
Amen.
We've got a lot of things going on today, and I want to mention a couple of them. First off, we've got our worship service this morning that we're involved in, and I want to know what kind of potato chips they were eating. Because I've got some favorites, you know, so I kind of want those. But anyway, we got our worship service, and then after we got our connect groups. Some of them will be meeting here. If you don't have a place to meet, meet with us here. And then right after that, at 3 o'clock, we have an area-wide youth rally that is going to be going on today. We've got several congregations from around the area, all the way up to Missouri, don't we, that are coming down. And so we've got a lot of people that are going to be here today, and I'm going to get the opportunity to speak to these young people and just for a few minutes before they break. And then tonight, don't forget, we have our Sunday night worship service. And we're going to continue with that. And tonight we're going to be going over the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. That's what we're going to be going over. So I encourage you, we've got lots of stuff just to do today. And I told Kathy, I said, we're going to be busy today. And she said, yeah, we are. We're not going to get our nap in. So we're going to have to stay up all day today. And be with you. And we're kind of excited about that. We're excited that you're here with us today. And we're excited that you are part of this group that meets here. Part of the church. The church. The church. That meets everywhere throughout the world. And folks, I want to talk to you about the church today. I want to talk to you about a few things within the church. And I want you to understand that each one of us is a temple for Christ. Each one of us. So we can't just say, okay, this whole congregation, but we can say, we are. We are. And so that's important, because a lot of the things that I talk to you about deals with us as an individual. How are you doing? Where are you going? How is your walk with God? And then that walk then goes to the congregation, then goes out into the world and preaches that gospel to every creature. Now, I want to start with 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. And I want to read those to you, and then I want to talk to you a little bit about what it's telling us there. It says, therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent. Now, I like that word, because to be diligent means that I am looking for it. I am seeking it. I am trying to find it. So here he says, be diligent to be found spotless and blameless by him at peace. Verse 15. And regard the patience of our Lord and salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which they are some things that are hard to understand. Unstable, distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. Do we see that today? We see it a lot today. A lot today. And that's why we have to be diligent, because we see those things taking place today. Now he goes on to say in verse 17, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unscrupulous people and lose your own firm commitment. But, verse 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. To God be the glory. To Christ be the glory. For now and forever. But notice what it says up there in the blue section that I've got underlined. It says this: grow in the grace and knowledge. Grow in the grace and knowledge. Now I want you to know, we all can kind of quote this. If you've been among the churches of Christ any length of time, you can quote that we are to hear, we are to believe, we are to confess, we are to repent, and we are to be baptized, and then also we are to continue to walk in the ways of the Lord. We can all quote that, we all know that, and most of us know scripture that goes right along with that. That's great. But Jesus also told us in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. Now this is kind of important, because there's lots of things in the Scripture that are commanded that oftentimes we just kind of brush by. Is it a command to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together? Folks, that's a command. That's a command. Is it a command to pray without ceasing? It is. And very few of us do that. But realize that there are other commands that are given to us. And when Jesus asked what was the greatest command, He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and with all thy mind. And what's the second? Love your neighbor as yourself. Is that a command? Yes. That's a command. But I also want you to look at this here that Paul wrote about. Now, excuse me. I always say Hebrews was written by Paul. That's not necessarily true. I've always said this, you know, I always think that Hebrews was written by Paul because it follows the same pattern of Paul's writings. But I've always said this as well, that one day I'm going to stand in heaven with Paul, and Paul may look at me and say, Steve, I didn't write Hebrews. Okay. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 13. It says this: for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the actual words of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only in milk is unacquainted with the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. Now, folks, I want you to see this because the writer here in Hebrews, but Paul also says this in Romans. And we know Paul says this in Romans. He says that if you're not growing, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. That's bottom line. If you're not growing, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Because if you're not growing, this, in Revelation 3:16, it says, so because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you, and I like this terminology better than spew you, because it says how bad it is, out of my mouth. How many churches, congregations, do you know that are lukewarm? How many people within those congregations do you know that are lukewarm? Are you yourself lukewarm? Now, let me tell you something. I know people that have told me point blank that all they want to do is come to church or to worship and to go home. They don't want to lead prayer. They don't want to teach a class. They don't want to help with our young people. All they want to do is come, worship, and go home. Now, I want you to know, these are Jesus' words in Revelation, where he says, because you're neither hot nor cold, he will spew you out of his mouth. I am so glad to see and hear how we are reaching out to the rest of the world. We are supporting others. We are seeking not only to reach out to this community, but to everywhere. And that is incredibly important that we do this, so that we will not be found to be lukewarm. And we must guard against being lukewarm. Because, folks, we can get very complacent. We sure can. Think about taking of the Lord's Supper this morning. How many of you this morning, when you took the Lord's Supper, really thought about the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us? Or is it just something that we do? When we sang our songs today, how many of us listened to the words of the songs? Or we just sang because that's something we do? Folks, the idea of being lukewarm is a command against that. In that if we are lukewarm, we will not be what we are supposed to be. We will not be going out in the world and teaching the gospel to every creature. We will not be spreading the word in both word and deed. But rather, we're just going through the process. Is that what God wants? Does he want us to just go through the process? Or does he want us to reach out to him more and more? So my question for you today is this. Are you growing? Are you growing as a Christian? Bob spoke of faith and hope this morning. Are you growing in faith? Are you growing in hope? Are you going in the right direction? Or are you kind of like a roller coaster that sometimes your faith and hope is here and sometimes your faith and hope is down here? Where is it? Well, today I want to give you three things. Three things that will help your faith to grow, that will help your Christianity to grow, that will help your hope to grow. The first one is this, and this is the King James Version because I like the way that he says this. He says, study. Study. And me being an old high school principal, I'd have kids come in my office and say, oh, I didn't do well on that test. You know what the first thing I'd ask them? Yeah. Did you study? Well, yeah, I did. I said, well, how much did you study? Well, I opened the book last night. That's not studying. If you want to really do well on a test, you'll open that book about 5, 6, 7 days earlier, and you'll study it every night. That's what I had to do. And I can tell you, folks, if you don't open the Bible, you're not studying. And I hear so many people, who tell me that they don't feel comfortable talking to someone about their salvation because they're afraid that they may ask a question and not know the answer. And I know I stepped on some toes just then. Because there are always people like that who don't go out and teach the gospel simply because they're afraid of the questions that they're going to be asked. Well, the way to get over that is to study. Study the Word. And don't be afraid, too. Don't be afraid if this happens, somebody asks you a question that you don't know the answer. Because you can respond back pretty easily. Let me get back with you on that one. Let me go and look it up and I'll come back and I'll tell you. Last Wednesday night I had a question that was asking me and I said, I thought I knew the answer and I started spurting off an answer. And he said, no, well, now wait a minute, this happened. And I go, you're right. And then I started thinking about it. And then I came back and I studied to find out the right answer. And I've already told Joe the answer. I'll tell the rest of y'all on Wednesday night. So tune in on Wednesday night at 6:30. Come and see us Wednesday night. And I'll tell you the question and I'll tell you the answer. Study. But I also want you to realize something else. And this is important for you to understand. The woman at the well, how much did she know? She left Jesus and she went out into her community. And she basically said this, I think I have found the Messiah. Come and see. And how many of her friends and neighbors came? Whole town. Realize exactly what took place. Jesus said, the harvest is ripe. It's ready. It's ready. Folks, there are people out there in the world today that are looking. They are looking. They are wanting to find. And as we talked about just a minute ago, we talked about hope this morning. Well, guess what? There's a lot of people out there that want hope of something better. They want hope of a better life. Guess what? There's only one hope. There's not hope here in this world. The hope that we must strive for is the hope of eternity with God. Because that's the hope. That's the hope where we should look. That's the hope in which we should strive, because Because if we want hope, it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Study. That's number one. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Study. Number two, I want you to look at this. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, there's two parts of fellowship there. One part is fellowship with us. It's not the same watching it on television. You need to come here. Be with us. Have fellowship together. But also, you got to realize here exactly what John is saying. He's saying our fellowship is also with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Our fellowship today is with the Father. It is with the Son, Jesus Christ. Our fellowship is together. So realize what we need to do in order so that we may increase in knowledge and wisdom and faith and hope. In order to increase in these things, we must have fellowship with us individuals and with God. Without that fellowship, we will not grow. It will not happen. I've got a friend of mine. He is a friend of mine. He and I coached together for a long time. Good guy, like him. About half crazy, like I am. But I really like him. I talked to him and talked to him and talked to him about coming to church. Every time I talk to him, he says, my church is on Channel 7. He says, I watch somebody on Channel 7. I go, no. I said, number one, I know you don't watch Channel 7, that church. But the bottom line is, you're missing out. Fellowship together and fellowship with God. These are the things that help you to grow. And thirdly, I want you to see this one. And this is one in which requires a lot. This one in James chapter 1, verse 22 says this. Prove yourselves doers of the word and not just hearers. We got a lot of people out there in the world today that are hearers. They go to church, they listen to the preacher preach, and they say, man, wasn't that a good sermon? And then they walk out the doors and they forget what the preacher said. They do not put anything that was said into action. Now, I want you to realize this. To be a doer of the word, you must also have great faith. Great faith. Think about Abraham. We're studying Abraham right now in our Bible study on Tuesday nights. Think about him. He grew up in a pagan society, a pagan world, where they worshiped the moon god, Sin. Believe it or not, that was the name of the moon god, S-I-N. And so he worshiped, or his family worshiped, that moon god. He didn't know God. He knew of God. But he really didn't know who he was. But how much faith did it take when God told him, said, grab your family, grab your belongings, and go to a place where I will show you. Now, being the person that I am, I can't take a trip without knowing where I'm going. My sister, whom I love sometimes, and my wife pulled a trick on me one time when we were going up the East Coast. And we'd get in the car and we'd start to drive and I said, okay, where are we staying tonight? And they said, we don't know. We'll find a place. My OCD doesn't handle that very well. I want to know where we're staying. I want to know what time we're going to get there. I want to know where we're going to eat. I want to know all these things all the way down the road. And understand, they were enjoying the fact that they weren't telling me where we were going. Don't tell me that. That makes it worse. Yeah. We're just going to drive, and if we find a hotel, we'll stop. That doesn't work. I got to have reservations. Months in advance. Well, I want you to know I did not have faith in my wife and my sister. But I'll tell you this. Abraham had faith. Look at the faith that it took for him to do that. And his faith grew and grew and grew to the point that when God told him to sacrifice his son, he did not hesitate. Because he knew that God would keep his promise even if his son were dead. Even if. Realize the difference. In order to walk with God, it takes faith. And I want you to know this also, that if you walk with God, if you take that first little step of faith, your faith will grow. James tells us to consider it all joy when you have trial and tribulation. And I know that's very difficult to do, but the response is this. When you see how God works for you, your faith grows. And our older members here, all of you have seen it. All of you have. Did your faith not grow when that trial or tribulation was taken care of? Does your faith not grow every single time that you see God working in your life? I want you to know, and since I have been here, my faith has grown. But I also want you to know this, that my intent is that my faith will continue to grow until that day that I stand before Jesus Christ. My prayer is always that we grow here in this congregation, that we grow in number, because I want to see every seat filled. But also I pray that we grow in spirit, that we grow in truth, that we grow in knowledge, that we grow in wisdom, that we grow in faith, that we grow in hope, that we grow in love. All the things that we are expected to do as Christians, that we continue to grow. Never be satisfied with where we are. Because, folks, we can always get better. Never be satisfied with your faith as it stands, because it can always be stronger. My question, where are you? Where are you today? Where will you be tomorrow? Is your faith going to grow? If it's not, you're disobeying a direct command. And be careful that you never become lukewarm. If you have a need this morning, a need for our prayers, or a need to be baptized, we give you the opportunity to come while together we stand and sing.